you are listening to the podcast That's Life in Sweden, or as we say in Swedish, Sånt är livet i Sverige, with me, your host, Lisa Åsimäki. Hello and welcome back to the podcast, Marika Andersson. How are you?
Yeah, I think I'm quite good this morning.
Yeah, and it is a cold morning here in Göteborg.
Yeah, it's cold and very grey.
It is. We are heading for winter. And of course, we're very positive about the winter, and you do like the snow.
I love the snow, and that's why I often wonder why I live in Gothenburg.
Yes,
because here we don't have much snow in here.
Now that's true, but last year we did have a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's hope for a white Christmas this year.
Yes.
So, Marika, the last time we spoke was back in 2021. And in the podcast, we got to know about you, your work as a principal working in Lövgärdeskolan here in Gothenburg, that is situated in a so-called segregated area that is known for its high concentration of ethnic minorities, high unemployment, problems with gangs and criminal activity. Now, several things has happened since. And so from your perspective, what would you say are the three major changes that has happened since 2021 to your work as a principal and this school?
The most important change is because in Gothenburg, the school administration went through a big reorganization in 2029, where the schools were merged into larger school areas or school units. And for me, this change led to that I'm now principal of three schools in Lövgärdet. So I have with me four vice principals to help me through to manage the schools. So I'm not situated in one school, and that are quite different.
Okay.
It's fun.
All right.
It's different. Yeah. I have to learn to lead the schools through my colleagues, and that's the difference.
Okay.
Another difference is that we have a network in Gothenburg, and we started it in 2020, so we already had it in 2021, but it was just it was new back then. And it's a network with principals in this so-called segregated areas with socioeconomics challenges in Gothenburg.
Okay.
20 schools or something like that. And we have the university and also the administrations in Gothenburg for the schools as well. And this summer, 2023, the researchers published two research articles that point out particularities in leading schools in these areas. And so we can see that the knowledge that each one of us already knew, now when with the researchers with us, we can see it's a bigger picture. So we hope that we have come a bit further in Gothenburg with this knowledge. So we hope that this would really, really, really help us to lead our schools and the development in our schools, so the students will succeed.
Yeah, so the students will actually benefit from it. Now, the two research articles, they are in Swedish, aren't they?
No. They're in English.
Okay. So would you be able to send me the link and then I can just put it?
Yes.
Yeah. So we got a couple of research articles because I'm sure there are a lot of people who are interested in how do we, what kind of solutions are there to support the students and particularly families living in these areas?
Yeah, we'll do that right after we finish this. And the third major changes. I think we have it's been a tougher climate in Sweden with a lot of violence. Not so much in Gothenburg or in Lövjärd, but we're affected because it happens around in Sweden. And we know we have these criminal gangs in Angered and Gothenburg as well. So, of course, it affects us in a way. And it's really strengthened me in my position to we have to do a better work than we do today. Always we have to give our kids opportunities to learn and to have better choices in life. So that I think that's affected us.
So in what way you're talking about it has affected? You're talking about obviously it has affected the students in the school. In what ways?
Yeah.
Can you give some examples?
Because there is. I think both you know the teachers and me and my co-workers as well. It's you know we kind of worry in a way that we hadn't been before. And I can see this. It's when the state talk about we need. More punishment, we need more police in the area. It's about, you know, the segregation between us and them is bigger, and it's like a cold climate. And I think it's affected us because we and the children, you know, you can feel like, is it really worth to do it for the children? Perhaps it's easier to you can take the easy way. You can join these gangs or. I think it's about. Sometimes I think I can feel a lack of hope, and I don't like it.
Yes. Now, most recently, you were part of a panel discussion on finding solution to the ongoing and growing gang violence and ending the recruitment of particularly young children into gangs here in Sweden. And it was aired on Swedish television. It was in, I think it was October 5th. And so from your perspective, as a no-nonsense, straight-talking and hands-on principal, I know you don't like me telling you that you're good at your work, but you are. but I think we got to say it as it is. So, Marika, what do you think are the solutions? Or do you believe that there are no solution, especially when you just mentioned that you feel children feel maybe there is a sense of that there's no hope?
Yeah, I think there are solutions. If I didn't believe that there was a solution, I had to quit my job and do something else. But I think it's, and I think, I mean, everybody knows that the school is a health factor.
Yes.
Because when our kids manage to succeed in school, they have the chances to get a job and they can, you know, move to a city and have their own living or anything. And but I think we have to really everybody in around the children, you know, the parents of course, and the police and the social workers and the you know, you have these football clubs or other people around the, we have to join, and we have to believe we can do it together. We have to, like, you know, the whole day, the 24 hours, we have to see that the children have, they have a good life. We have the, a good time in school, and they, in the spare time there are activities for the children, and everybody around the children should have our goal. We must have a common goal that they, we must believe that they will succeed, and we will, and we have to make the environment around them so the possibilities to succeed is there. And I think today the in the politics in Sweden, we talk so much about what we should do when they already have come into the criminal world, and not so much about what we should do before, to so they don't even think about it.
In the program, there were, the panel consisted of politicians from the three major Swedish parties. There was also a defense lawyer for some of these youth criminals. There was an IT expert. There was a local policeman. And there were three members from the public. And of course, you as a school principal representing the area, or if you like, the segregated area in Göteborg. Who do you think was missing from the discussion, and why?
I really don't know why. I thought about it a lot after the TV program, because I was the only one who really works with prevention, with the children and the young people at school. And the other ones were more like, what we do after. So I think social workers and someone from preschool. So we had, you know, like more balance in the show, in this program, because it was a lot about what punishment or and that. I think the discussion was a lot about first when it's too late, and it was also to blame each other why we are in this situation, instead of saying, okay, now we're here, what we're going to, what we have to do. Or so I didn't like that, and I wrote to the program afterwards and said that I think they didn't take the opportunity that they should have done, and that they said to me before the program, now we're going to talk about what we are going to do. We're going to have this hopeful conversation, and it really wasn't that. But I did my best. I really tried to.
I thought you were fabulous. I thought you were just fabulous. Because like you said, you were the only one who was actually talking about solution, and it kept, and it was like everyone wanted to have their voice heard, but they did not come up with solutions.
No, and I also thought that I, because when I said, oh, I think we should collaborate, it was like, okay, how do you mean? How do you mean? So I felt like, okay, it's on my shoulders. Everything that's going to be good for the children, it's only on my shoulders. So I had to, it's not just my work at Lövgärdet. It was like I had to answer for everybody in every school, in every social workers. Or so it was, yeah.
It was a bit harsh. It was a bit harsh.
Yeah.
They basically put you in a spot, and the only way they would do that is because of your reputation, precisely as a no-nonsense principle. Now, one of the solutions that was tabled or has been tabled is to impose harsher penalties for children under 18 and to end the so-called youth benefit that happens here in Sweden. First of all, what is the youth benefit? And do you think this is the, so there's two questions. So first of all, what is the youth benefit? And do you think harsher penalties for children under 18 will actually work?
The youth benefit is when they are when you are under a certain age, you don't get the maximum punishment if you commit a crime, because we have had this that we think that when you are young, you don't know the consequences, and if it's the first time you commit a crime or something like that, you don't have this maximum punishment. And now they want to take it away. And they also talk about, you know, have this maximum punishment when you're like 13 years old. And I think that's crazy, absolutely crazy. I don't think that is the way to go, because we know that the brain hasn't been developed when you're a kid. Not until you are like 25, you can see these consequences, and that we judge these kids and don't give them second chances. If we had this harsher penalties, and I think that's absolutely crazy, because we have to believe in our kids and our youth, because they are our future. And we have to believe that they don't think about the consequences. They live here and now. And I think it's, I mean, I was the same when I was young. I was here and now, and I thought, okay, it's now or never. I didn't commit crimes, but you know, everything else, it was like, okay, now I'm just going on a direction. And we have to believe that these children, they don't think they have choices, or they can see when someone from this criminal gangs come to them and say to them, okay, do you want to earn a little money? Can you take this parcel from this point to the other point? Or come on, join us. I buy you a pizza or something like that. But, you know, if they don't succeed in school, and in school they have this, you know, teachers and principals and other people around them say that you're a failure. You can't sit still, and please be quiet, and don't do that, and don't do that. And then you come to people who say, okay, you're good, come on, we need you. You can be somebody. Of course they take that road, because everybody want to feel that they are needed and that you are somebody. So no, we have to give our kids and the opportunities to have choices, and we have to believe in them, and we have to do everything we can to give them the opportunities to succeed. And that's all. Also, I go back to the schools. I think it's a huge failure in Sweden that we today don't give the schools the conditions to really compensate the students for the different conditions. We have this politics that I don't think that they are evil in some way, but I don't think they know what really, really happens in the classroom. I don't think they know don't know what it means to have another language at home and come to a school where the school language is, in our case, Swedish. And I don't think that they really know that the relations with the grown-ups in school are for some of our students, it's perhaps the most important relation you have. And if that relationship don't, if you don't really can take care of it, you have nobody. So I think we have to support these children. And even if or when they commit a crime, or for some of these young people, the crimes are really, 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 really awful, because they kill each other.
Yes.
But we still need to do, okay, we have to help them. We have to give them everything. We have to give them support. We have to give them love. We have to give them education.
Yes.
No, not punishment. I'm worried about the direction, the politics in Sweden have today, because it makes me so sad that we talk about children as if they were adults, people
yes.
who really know what they are doing, and we don't talk about. If you see a kid in perhaps like 8 years old, they don't want to be criminals.
No,
they want to be football players or
yes.
doctors or everything. Like, they have dreams like everybody else. So I know it really makes me sad. And we have this in Lövjärde skolan. We have this democracy nights
okay.
for democracy. We had this for, we started it in 2021 and had this the year before the election for a year, one night every month. And it had been paused for a year, and now we are back and have this democracy nights. And we had it for a couple of weeks ago, and we talk about the security in the area. We had the police there, the same police who was with me in the program as well. And we talk about in groups and different questions about why do young people commit crimes. And in my group, there were one of our teenagers who led this conversation. And when we had this question, why does someone choose to commit criminal acts? And we talk about young people. And he said, maybe they have no choice. And you know, he really knew what he was talking about. He has choices, so it wasn't about him. It's about his friends, and he see it. And it made me so sad when I heard this young boy said, maybe they have no choices. And we, everybody, the society around our children, we have a responsibility to give them the choices. Because they're going to make other choices if we give them to them, and we help them to see the other choices.
You know, I think that is so amazing. You actually had students there. And sometimes maybe we are not listening to our students, what they want.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we talk to our students and to our young citizens. It's too seldom we talk to them. We have to talk to them. We have to ask them, what do you think is wrong? What do you need? Because we are the grown-ups. We have the power to make a difference.
That's right.
So I think we have to, there's so many things we should do. There's so many things we can do. And I think it's hard today. It's really hard. But I think it's still possible to change and to dream and to make difference.
Yes, the current climate is just pretty negative. And yes. And you know, and I'm just kind of thinking that, you know, there are the wars in Ukraine, there is the current war in Israel, and so, you know, I mean, it would have an effect on our children, and also precisely what is happening currently in Sweden, and then we have politicians who talk about all this harsher penalties and this is what we need to do, but there's no one who's actually talking like you are, or even considering asking 15-year-olds to come on the program and say, what do you need?
Yeah, and that's interesting, because it's like we don't, and it's you know, in one hand, the politics say that the politician says that these children, 13-year-old children, they know what they are doing.
Yes.
So we, yeah, on one hand, on the, and on the other hand, the same people said, no, we shouldn't ask them because they're too small and they don't know what is right or what is wrong. So it's really, really crazy. And I think it worries me because it's about our future for every one of us. If we don't take care of our young people, we don't have a future, because we need, everybody is needing in this society. So I think it's really, really sad, and yeah it's sad.
So how are you dealing with it?
How I'm dealing with it. I'm trying to make my voice heard, and I'm trying to where I am in my profession, think also that what can I do here and now, separate it from the world around me sometimes, because I think that, okay, what is really in my power at my work? And I think I have a lot in my power at the schools and with my teachers and with my vice principals and with all of my students. So I think I have to focus on that, and also see what can I do outside the schools, like saying yes when they call me from the Swedish television and ask me to be on a program or on the news or something like that. But I think I can do more outside the school to maybe write articles or I think I can do more outside the school.
In 2021, you were acknowledged as one of the most influential citizens here in Göteborg.
Yeah.
Now, can you talk about the acknowledgement and in what way it supports you in your work? Or is that just the kind of little token they give out? Or have you felt support because of the achievement?
It was really funny when I got this, because it was like, I think it was between Christmas and New Year or something like that, when a friend of mine, and who is also a principal, send me these messages with my picture on it, and congratulations. And I'm like, okay, what is this? I was number 84 out of 100.
Well,
in Gothenburg.
That's good. Yeah, that's an achievement.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And I think it's more like it's a confirmation of what I do, and that I really have a voice that counts. Mm. And I think it's I had the courage before, but I think it strengthened it to I can really, really make a change. I know I do that, and I know I have done it in different ways. And that when I say when I said earlier that I know I can do more outside school, but I know I have this autumn I have or had this. I was at the news in the end of September about, you know, they're going to change the law that we in they are, we don't know if they're going to change it, but the government is now investigate to have a law where we works in this in the schools and in, and social workers and the in the hospitals that we have to tell the authorities if we have a student or in our school who hasn't the right to stay in Sweden. And I was in the news and get the question if I was going to do that, and I said no, of course not, it's not my job. For the first time, I know what it's like to get this emails with a lot of hate. So it's a price to be public. And at first, I was really, really sad. But then I got angry, and I think that those people who write and say that I'm an idiot or should move to some other place or and I'm to blame for everything in Sweden, I read them and then leave them aside. And every other people, I get a lot of mail from other people who support me, and those mails, I answer them, every one of them, and thank them for writing me. And I can understand that people are quiet, and that they feel that I don't think I dare to speak out loud because they are afraid of the hate they may be get. But I think it strengthened me. So I think I should I should use my voice more frequently and more like perhaps use it in a way to an agenda, you know, like, okay, this is what I want people outside the schools to know. Okay, how can I do it? And, you know, I'm going to write a book.
Wow. Okay.
For real. Yeah, for real.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So perhaps in a year or so, I have this book published. So that's a way also to make my voice. And that's, if you go back to the question, do this most influential citizen in Gothenburg? Yeah, it strengthened me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And that sounds so good, considering the amazing work that you do. And like you mentioned, you know, it's I'm sure there are teachers out there and principals who would like to speak out, but exactly what you said, the difference is that they are afraid. They're afraid of the backlash. And so, you know, you are a bit of a role model moving forward with the way you're talking, that no, this is wrong and this is how it should be. And, you know, sure, you can also have, but I think the main thing that you, you know, throughout this or our conversations has always been a focus on the students, their children, and regardless where they're from, we gotta have, we have to be role models. We have to inspire them to become who they're meant to become.
And we have to, in the school, we have to focus on the education, because that is the key for their future.
Absolutely. Just very quickly, you know, you mentioned preschool. You wanted to have someone from preschool at this conversation or the program. Why a preschool teacher or principal?
Because I think it's important to have, you can see, so people understand a children's trip from, you know, you are a newborn in this world up till they are 20.
Yes.
And I think it's the preschool is so important, because it's the first years. And if we succeed to give the children a good start when they're like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, I think our opportunities to continue to build them from their own desires and their own, you know, where they are in life, to give them the, you know, the sparkling in the eyes.
Yes.
Like they, so I think the preschool is really, really, really important. And I think I don't think we know how important the preschool is in the education for the children. I think we think it's okay. We have the children there and they play and they, but they're, it's education in preschool as well. So.
Wow, you are a busy woman. You are not only... Are you studying?
Yes, I'm studying a course about leading schools in, you know, in the segregated area.
Yes.
I studied, it's a small course. It's like 7.5 points, high school points in Sweden. But yes, I'm studying.
Fantastic. And you're also involved in a major project. You're providing guest lectures at the University of Gothenburg, and you're writing a book. How on earth do you keep it up? How do you keep up with it all?
I don't know. I'm just doing it. I do things I enjoy, and things I think it's important, and things that give me energy. So I just do it. I don't, my daughter, she says to me all the time, "Hey, mom, you're not like other people." So, and she thinks that I should donate my body to science after my death.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, there you go. Marika, is there anything you want to finish our conversation this time? Because, of course, we're going to be talking again maybe in a year's time when you've written your book. But is there anything you would like to say?
I really, really want to say, I had said it earlier now, but we have to take care of our children, of our youth. We have to believe in them, and we have to give them a lot of love and a lot of faith, So they really, really, really think that this society and this world is for them as well.
Thank you so much for being on the program again. It's been wonderful talking to you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.
And you have been listening to the podcast Sånt är livet i Sverige, or in English, That's Life, here in Sweden, with me, Lisa Orsimäki. Till next time, take care of yourself and each other. Bye for now.